Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another listener question show. Before we dive into today's questions, I want to remind you of our great sponsor, and that's our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. I've reset my app. We're back from the Summit Cheerleading Championship, so right now I'm looking straight ahead to the Be Our Guest podcast cruise, and we're down to just 52 days to go till we all get on the Disney Dream, head down to Castaway Cay for 2 days in paradise. Lots of fun on board as well, and I get excited for the cruise. Every time I post to social media, get a text message or a phone call, and you can do the same. You see lots of great pictures from Walt Disney World. You can customize the colors, the font. You can even get audio alerts every day. So check it out. There's great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast with our Amazon affiliate link. We sure appreciate it. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. Again, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1482 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Yes, I am back from Walt Disney World, and I am sure that I am full of countless tales of how staying kind of on-site, kind of off-site goes.
Yes.
We're recording this one a little bit before I leave so that we have another week's buffer in case I'm raging. I don't know if I will be. I'm thinking it's going to be awesome. You know, maybe we're coming home with a 4-foot trophy. Her squad won Summit, and it's who cares? You know, I stayed in a tent, over off of I-4. You know, it could be that. But we're going to get a review of the B Hotel and what it's like to stay so close to Walt Disney World. And we're going to have a good time with it. So, again, recording early. So this one's out there because I'm not back our normal recording day. So we're going to answer your list of questions. And we'll have a full trip report heading your way very soon. So joining me today to answer your list of questions, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Wednesday, Ricky. What's going on?
Happy Wednesday. I feel like I'm in Winnie the Pooh and they're saying, you know, Happy Wednesday. You know, the scene. All know the scene I'm talking about, right?
Never seen it.
No, the attraction.
Oh, yeah. Like it's a blustery day in the 100 acres wood. Yes.
Happy Wednesday. So, yeah.
Okay. So, question on that ride. Is that one, like, room supposed to, like, freak you out like you're on drugs or something? Like, I don't know. I don't get that one. But, like, with all the bright colors and the mirrors, like, I mean, I've never done illegal drugs. I'm not kidding. Raise my right hand. Because I grew up Baptist. But the thing is,
that means you haven't done them?
What? I'm just saying. Like, that, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I have because I've been on that attraction. It feels like that's what. Because, like, I watch a lot of live PD. And it feels like the people that are wigged out, they're taken away. That's what it would feel like. You know, that one room.
So you are actually supposed to be dreaming. So that is why you're seeing all the kind of hallucinations is because you're dreaming.
Okay. So, I'll take
yes,
it.
Yes. You are dreaming while on honey. So let's just go with that.
I guess. All right. So Jeff's got a question live here in our chat at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And we love the folks who spend some time with us during our live shows. He says, how's the Animal Kingdom After Hours party? Want my girlfriend to see Pandora, so I bought those tickets. Mm-hmm. I haven't done after hours events. I'm an old fogey. I like to go to bed, you know, but, you know, I'm still not going to do it this summer. I know a lot of people probably will. Here's my thing on the after hours parties. I think they're incredible. I love the idea that it's small crowds, cooler weather, especially over the summer. You get, you know, little snacks and little goodies. But my thing is, it just kills me because I have an annual pass. So
right.
I can get in the park all day long. I know there's more people. It's hotter. It's not as great. But man, I hate to fork down another 140 or so bucks to get into a park that I could get in, you know, basically I've already covered during the day. That's kind of how I see it. So, but I'm hearing good reviews. Everybody that goes loves them, especially Mark Yerkes. He tells me about them all the time. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think for like people like us who have annual passes, the appeal of a Disney After Hours event isn't as great because we can kind of go more frequently. So, you know, if we miss Pandora attractions, like, we don't feel like we're missing anything. But for someone who maybe doesn't get to go as often as we do, since they don't have annual passes, I can see where this would be a big, big, big help. You know, having the ability to do these after hours events, you know, like I've heard before, you know, they are pretty much empty. You know, the attractions have very small wait times, minus, of course, maybe, Avatar Flight of Passage. But they still, you know, still it's much better than it would be if you were going on a normal day without the after hours event. So, but you do have the ability to ride some of the other attractions as well, you know, so I don't know. I see the appeal of it. I do think they're pretty costly. But, you know, if it's the way to be able to see these attractions, and you know, especially in the summer when it is cooler, I say if it sounds like something you want to do, then absolutely you should spend the money and do it. You know, and plus it's all the popcorn and Mickey ice cream bars you can eat. So, I'm bottled beverages. So, like, I'm tossing those beverages in my bag, man. Let's go. I'm bringing up a huge bag so I can put my popcorn in and just dump it in and go, okay, fill it up again. Give me more.
It's kind of like Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party with the trick-or-treating.
I'm bringing
getting
my
good
own
stuff.
Bag for the treats, man. And I do, too. Like, I don't want that little chintzy bag they give me. I want my own bag that I can fill up and
absolutely. All right, Megan's got a question. She was asking, they're going on an adults-only trip. She's looking for the best pool at a deluxe resort. Now, obviously, everybody's going to say, and I agree, that's why we're staying there over the 4th of July. Yacht and Beach Club with Stormalong Bay. Let's exclude that. We've been to most of the deluxe pools. I will say there's a close running with, God, they all have great pools, though. I really enjoy the Polynesian's pool. It's got a fun slide. I also really enjoy the boardwalk pool. It's got like a roller coaster
theme
slide.
That's just
because
it's got the clown that you get
fun,
spit
though.
Out of.
The whole pool is cool. Like the bar looks like a carousel. Yeah. It's got a lot of chairs on the deck. Trying to think, but Animal Kingdom Lodge's feature pool is pretty sweet. I mean, Wilderness Lodge has a great pool. I love that pool. It's really nice because it's like the horseshoe around the pool there. Lots to see. They got the geyser going off. You can't go wrong. But I mean, obviously, Stormalong Bay, right?
Yeah, Stormalong Bay, for sure. I mean, definitely. But I think Polynesian is another good choice.
All righty. So, somebody said the 100 Acre Woods caught on fire, the real life one.
Oh. I didn't see that.
Okay. So, there you go. Next question says, Mickey Beignets? Yes, please. It's from Michael. Good evening, BOGP crew. I got to say, you guys are the best. I look forward to the episodes each week, and you never disappoint. Well, thank you so much. Ricky's internet's giving us a little headache today, but we'll work through. We're making our annual summer trip in late July this year. We're DVC owners, and we're staying at the Grand Floridian. Those are your people, Ricky. That's what you do. You're not an owner, but you tend to stay there on DVC points. Yeah. So one of the days during our trip, we are going to eat breakfast at Trattoria Al Forno at 7:40 and then want to explore Port Orleans. We've never been to that property and we're trying to do new things each time we go. Obviously, we're going to have to check out the Mickey Beignets while we're there. My question is, what's the best way to get there at, say, 8:30 to 9 a.m.? I'm assuming we can't drive over, and I wasn't sure if Disney Springs was an option that early. Any help is greatly appreciated. Thanks for all you do, and P.S. Mike, I'm cheering for your Mizzou Tigers this year with Kelly Bryant potentially under center. I'm a diehard Clemson fan and hated to see him leave, but I'm looking forward to watching him in another uniform. Go Tigers, both of them. And we are very excited to have Kelly Bryant, so hopefully that'll be a good year in Como. All right, so going from Trattoria El Forno over to Port Orleans. Yes, you do need to get the beignets. They're awesome. There's also a really good breakfast. Well, you're going to have breakfast at Trattoria El Forno, but they have a great breakfast sandwich there, too. What would you say, Ricky, to get there from the boardwalk over to Port Orleans area? How would you go?
Well, they said something about not being able to drive.
No, you can drive. Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If they have their car, then I would just drive over there. Just tell them you're coming for Mickey beignets, and they'll gladly let you in. So, I would think that they would have zero problem with that. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know what time. I know that they do offer like breakfast at Disney Springs at some places, so they might have the boats running that early. So if you wanted to park at Disney Springs, you take your bus to Disney Springs and then take a boat to Port Orleans. I mean, that's an option too. Or there's a minivan option, or Uber. There are plenty of ways to get over there.
I don't think the boats start running until about 11.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I just drive. I mean, shoot, You're going over there to spend money on beignets. They're going to let you in.
Yep.
I need my beignets. All right, next we're heading to Marietta, Georgia, down in your neck of the woods. Courtney's got a question. She says, annual pass upgrade help. Hi, Mike and BOGP crew. My husband and I are headed down in October for a belated anniversary celebration. Thanks for help booking, Mike. Thank you so much. I have a couple of questions about upgrading our ticket to an annual pass. We have a 10-day hopper booked with our package and would like to upgrade this to an annual pass at some point during the trip. Hopefully these are quick and easy questions for you. Number one, can we do this at the resort or does it have to be at Disney Springs or a park? Okay, let me give you this answer. It's always been Disney Springs or a park. However, I've had people tell me they've been doing this at the resorts in the last, say, 3 months.
Interesting. And
I see no reason why it really couldn't be done at the resorts. They always say, oh, our systems don't talk to each other. I mean, my God, with Disney, a room only and a package are like two different systems and they can't talk to each other. Like, that is the most annoying thing ever, but it's how it's always been. So it's one of those things, like, seriously? But that's rules. I would ask at your resort, because if they can do it, bingo, you're done. But it's always been just Disney Springs or at a park. And I've done it at Disney Springs the last couple times, and it's great because they have a really large kind of guest relations area where you can do it. They have like lemon water, they got couches to sit on, and they have a lot of cast members in there. So that's what I like.
However,
go ahead.
Disney Springs did just change. So you can't go to the Welcome Center anymore for ticket changes. They actually have a Disney Ticket Center at Disney Springs now that they just opened up. So that's to kind of alleviate some of the pressure I think that they were feeling at the Welcome Center, because I feel like they were just getting hit by a lot of people there. So there's a new ticket center that you can go to for ticket questions and things like that. So that may be an option for you. But you know what? It never hurts to try and ask at the resort. And then if they tell you no, then you can head over to one of the parks or Disney Springs for that.
All right. She says, do we have to do this the first day we arrive? If the lines are long, I'd rather skip doing the upgrade and do it whenever it's convenient. Okay. So you can do it anytime during the trip. Because what's going to happen is your annual pass is going to start the day the package started. So that, you know, you can't be like, you know, I used to think I'm going to be sneaky and like upgrade my pass on the ninth day and get, you know, it's going to start then and I'm going to get 9 free days. First of all, you're probably not going to use those days unless you're, you know, really lucky with your, how your trips are going the next year. But no, it goes back to the first day. And I would do it day one. And here's why. Your memory maker is going to kick in immediately. And more importantly, you're going to immediately get your opportunity with your little AP card to get your dining discounts and your merchandise discounts immediately. So that can save you, you know, over a week, maybe $100, you know, depending on what you buy. I mean, I would do it immediately, right, Ricky?
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely take the time to do it just when you get to the park. It shouldn't take that long. You know, I've done, because I have to get in line when I get my annual pass renewed a lot of times because they have to give me a new card. So I still have to go to the, you know, ticket kiosk myself, you know, just to get that taken care of. So it doesn't take me long when I have to do that. So I would just do it first thing when you get to the park. And or Disney Springs.
Yep, I agree. And it's just three. If we wait a few days into the trip, when does Memory Maker kick in? We will not have access to those. Will we not have access to those first few days of pictures? Thanks so much for all you do. Go Lizards, Courtney. So what's going to happen is when you get your, you're still going to have all your pictures. What's going to happen is they're going to be watermarked. As soon as you get an annual pass, boom, choo, the watermark disappears and you got all your pictures. So that does not matter. That's not
right.
That's not an issue at all. But I mean, if you want to share them immediately, like I do.
No.
Just do it. I mean, I know it might take you a few minutes, but guess what? You're going to have the glow of being an annual pass holder from day one. You're going to be like, oh, it's so cool. It was like always my dream. Like, I couldn't believe the first time I got one. I was like, I have an annual pass to Walt Disney World. I cannot believe it. I'm living my best life, as they say.
Yep.
As the kids say. All right. Allison's got a question. She is from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, I've heard of that place.
That's right. Home of the first place Cardinals, hopefully still. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. You've given me some great advice before, so I'm hoping you can help me out. I like to run, although not as much as Mike. Well, who does? I'm like Forrest Gump.
He's crazy.
I shouldn't run this much. We're staying at the Contemporary Resort this June for 6 nights. I like to run in the morning, so I noticed the Contemporary's trail is only about 1 mile or so. I'd like to find a route that's about 3 to 5 miles. Is there any place I can run by the Contemporary? I wasn't sure if you could run on the road or if you could run on the walkway to the Magic Kingdom. I can't really find any good maps to show a route. I would appreciate any advice you have. Thanks, Allison. All right. So you do not want to run on that road.
No.
You will get killed. Do not, like, even during the marathon, that road scares me that I'm going to get run over by the 28,000 other runners that are going faster than me down under the water bridge. So do not go on that road. That road's scary. It's too skinny anyway. So as far as the path, yeah, I know, like, you don't want to have to do like a bunch of loops. Like, you know, I do 0.22 loops, 54 of them every morning, but you probably don't want to do that. Here's what I would do. Now, I know this is kind of a pain in the butt, but you're really close to the Wilderness Lodge. Mm-hmm. If you can get to the Wilderness Lodge, there's a great path that goes, you take it, you just walk out past where the bus stops are at the Wilderness Lodge. And if you go right past there, it takes you to the path, which will take you to Fort Wilderness. That is one of the best runs ever. You go through the woods, you see animals, you get to Fort Wilderness, you can run around the RV loops, you can run around where the horses are, you can go down to by Trails End and all that stuff in the store. That's where I love to run. I know it's kind of a pain in the butt to get started, but you will love every step you take on that path. So that's what I would say. Ricky, any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do so much running there.
I'm just saying, I mean, people walk and just explore. I don't know.
I've done the walk from Fort Wilderness to Wilderness Lodge. It is nice. So
it's cool. Yeah. All right. Next question says first half marathon questions. It's from Michelle in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, BOGP crew. I've only been listening to the podcast for about 2 months, but thanks to your enthusiasm and great trip reports about Run Disney, in that time frame, I've gone from rolling my eyes at racing fanatics to signing up yesterday for my first ever Walt Disney World Half Marathon. That's right. Don't blame us. I'll be running with one of my best friends who coincidentally introduced me to the show. Good job, best
friend.
There
you go.
And we're already deep in the trenches of trip and training planning. Our question is this. We were recently in Walt Disney World during the Star Wars races and saw firsthand how messy the traffic can get. Knowing that the January races are even busier, do you have any tips about where to stay or what transportation might be best for us to avoid the intense traffic? I want to be able to enjoy our post-run park time without the congestion, but I also don't want to stay to get antsy maneuvering through cars on our way to the corral lineup. Thanks so much for your insight. I love everything about the show, from the great trips to the positivity. Maybe we'll see Mike out there in January. Thanks again and have a great day, Michelle. Yeah, Michelle, you'll absolutely see me out there. I'm doing Dopey again in January. So just say hey and just meet up with the lizards. There's a ton of us in the bright colored shirts. So we'll see you out there in January. It's going to be fun. And as far as, okay, here's what I say about that. You know, where to stay for a Run Disney weekend. Obviously, the Epcot era resorts are really nice because after the race, you can walk back. Now, this is after the race, though. You can walk through Epcot back and just, you know, go to the Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club. Those are great. Swan and Dolphin. Also, think about this. As I'm staying at Pop Century for Marathon Weekend this year because I'm going to catch a gondola back to Pop Century. So that would apply for Art of Animation. Also, Caribbean Beach and the Riviera. So that's an option. But the thing is, you were talking about getting to the corrals. This is where it really does not matter. You're going to take Disney transportation. You're not going to try to get there any other way because Disney transportation will get you there in plenty of time. I mean, I've done tons of races and never had an issue. And the best part about it is you just go out to your bus stop at like 3 a.m. I know it stinks, 3 a.m. But you get on your bus. And then when you sit down, it's a nice motor coach. And even if you're sitting in traffic, the bus is comfortable. It's warm. You go back to sleep or you just hang out with your friend and talk about the race. It's chill. And they drop you off right where you get off the bus and you walk over to your meeting area. Then you head to the corrals. It's the easiest way. Anybody that tries to drive themselves is just bringing too many variables into the equation. So that's what I say.
Good advice.
Any thoughts?
Definitely. No, I mean, I do the driving thing, but that's because I end up staying off site. So it is a little difficult sometimes to drive there. But yeah, if you're taking Disney transportation, they'll get you there really easily. And someone else is driving, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, if I'm not running with somebody, and a lot of times we have a lot of lizards running and we're at the same hotel, so we'll, you know, have like a party on the bus on the way over. But if those rare times where I'm staying at a hotel by myself, I go back to sleep on the bus. And seriously, you can get like 30. I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You can get like 30 more minutes. It's comfortable. I can sleep anywhere, though.
So, yes, you can.
That's me. See, Sarah Thompson's got a question from us, and she says, she's got her phone number here. We're not going to call her, though. Your question is, I'm planning a trip in October with my family. It's herself, her husband, two kiddos who are 12 and 8. We're staying at Pop Century. I'm going to send in a room request. I always love staying in the 60s because the location and the pool, but I'm wondering where the Skyliner station will be. Is the 60s building still the best location? Sarah. All right, talk to her about that, Ricky. What do you think?
Ooh, I actually don't know where the Skyliner...
No, it's in the middle of Hourglass Lake.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I assume the Skyliner is in the middle of ROS Lake. That's exactly where I was going with that. So, yeah, I think the 60s is fine because it's a quick hop, skip, and a jump to Hourglass Lake from there, too. So I think 60s is a great option.
Yeah, I was thinking about this because, you know, if you think about it, the backside buildings have always been the standard, you know, like, because they're the furthest back away from everything pop, the main building. But the thing is, like, when I go down for Marathon Weekend, you know, like, I want to stay in one of those buildings on the backside that's facing Hourglass Lake because it'll be quicker to the Skyliner. So I'm wondering, and I know Disney's going to reprice Pop Century and Art of Animation very soon because of the Skyliner, I'm sure, because it's got more transportation options. But will those rooms not kind of become preferred? I mean, it's not centrally located, but I mean, it's better location for one of the reasons a lot of people are going to consider Pop Century.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it'll depend on what Disney decides to do with, you know, updating the pricing for Pop Century. So, yeah, that's a good question. I'm not entirely sure how they're going to reconfigure things.
All right, let's get to a question from Colleen, one of my great guests over at the Magic for Less. Hey, Mike, we're getting so excited for our trip. And what's funny is that my husband's birthday is on September 30th. And this date is significant in our trip in so many ways. I'm so torn. It's the last day of meeting the Incredibles at Hollywood Studios. The last day for Mike and Sully's meet and greet. The last day for meeting Mickey and Minnie at the Magic Kingdom. And now the last performance of Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. Let's stop here for just a second. She's got some questions.
Got it.
Do any of those things actually really compare to the last performance of Illuminations, Reflections of Earth? I don't think so. Is it just me? That does not compare.
I mean, I getcha.
All right, let's continue on. Disney is killing me, LOL. We have plans on September 30th to do Hollywood Studios because our son loves The Incredibles, and that's the last day. And we wanted to do something new and different as a family on my husband's birthday and have secured a fantastic dining package at Mama Melrose. So maybe it's good we are missing the last Illuminations because of crowds? Question mark. My husband and I have a dinner date for Le Cellier on October 1st, and now it's going to be crazy town, but so cool because it'll be the debut of Epcot Forever. I'm just so torn about whether or not to change plans to see Illuminations. We were hoping to satisfy the kids by doing Magic Kingdom on our arrival day on the Saturday and see Mickey and Minnie, and then hoping to see Happily Ever After Saturday night because there is a lot of Hallowishes during our trip. Mm-hmm. And Sunday, we're going to be a no park day for church, Disney Springs lunch, pool, Polynesian pool, and then a boat ride to Whispering Canyon. I love that day. Don't change that day because you're staying at the Polynesian. You need to explore and go to the pool. Don't change that. Oh, Disney, I love you so much, but all these surprises for our quiet, lower crowd time of the year trip have got me going bananas. What would you do? We have four kids. We'll be 7.5, 5.5, 4, and 2.5. Hopping around too much and seeing Illuminations may not be in their best interest. Have a great Thursday. Looking forward to Friday's episode. All right, so here's the thing. She has kids that are four kids that are under 8. So Illuminations, like, as a pure Disney fan, is going to be incredible to see on the last performance. I've booked trips for folks, Dr. Kai, I'm looking at you, who are going down just to see the first Epcot Forever and the last Illuminations. However, it is going to be crazy town both September 30th and October 1st, and with four kids in tow, I might stick to your plan to go to the studios because you're going to have it to yourself. What do you say, Ricky? Well, you won't have it yourself because Galaxy's Edge will be open, but what do you think?
I think that as long as you see Illumination, if you have the opportunity to see Illuminations before you leave, you know, before it goes away, then I think I would try to do that. But it doesn't sound like maybe they can, unless, I mean, I know that they were talking about that one day that they weren't going to visit the park or anything like that. Maybe they do it just add on just so they can see Illuminations that night if they weren't planning on going. You know, it is tough because it is the last performance, you know, the last week of Illuminations at that point. I don't think I would change my reservation for Le Cellier on the first, though, because, you know, I think that that's probably going to be fine. Yeah, there'll be a lot of people there to see the first show, but yeah, I think there'll be a lot of bloggers.
There'll be so many bloggers.
So you'll see a lot of bloggers there that day. You know, besides that, I don't know how many extra people will be there, but there will definitely be a lot of people there for Illuminations last night. So, yeah.
All right, let's get to the next question from Andrea. She says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Huge fan of the BOG podcast. Thanks for all you guys do. I have a question. We're headed to the world this June and already have a ton of plans set up. On arrival day, we're thinking of doing some mini golf to just sort of relax and ease into the whirlwind that will happen in the week that follows. I should add that our park hoppers include the ability to do mini golf, that's why we're doing it. In any event, we have to choose between Fantasia Gardens or Winter Summerland. We're angling towards Fantasia Gardens, but would love to hear your feedback as we've never done the mini golf at Disney before. Thanks so much, Andrea. Ricky, I know that we've played a little mini golf down there. I've played both courses. So what,
I've actually never played.
You haven't? I thought you've never played with all of us.
No, I've not been with you guys, which is sad, Ricky. That's okay, because I have an option for you. I actually would choose Winter Summerland, just because A, I think the theme is really unique. B, Fantasia Gardens is really hard. At least the one course is. The other one is a little bit easier. But the one course is like going golfing, but with miniature golf. Like, that's kind of the, you know, that's what it equates to. So I would go Winter Summerland, but that's just me. Again, we've had this discussion about how I like Blizzard Beach more than Typhoon Lagoon anyway, because I like the theme better. But again, that's just me.
And that's going to happen with me too, because I like Winter Summerland better. Just I think the theme is cool, like the Christmas time and the summer and Santa.
Cool.
But I'm a big Christmas fan. I like Winter Summerland. It's nice. But I mean, I've played the Fantasia Gardens course and it's fun. The thing you're talking about, you don't want to play the one that replicates the real golf holes around the world. That is incredibly hard. That's for somebody that really plays golf.
Yes.
Like for just the putt-putt experience where you're banking the balls off, you know, things and going through obstacles and stuff. Definitely, you know, either one, Fantasia Gardens or Winter Summerland. But I both like, and there's two courses, obviously, at each. Winter Summerland, you can play the Summerland side or the Winterland side. Or I think that's what it's called. But, yeah, there's two courses. They're fun.
Yeah.
Fairways is super hard, Clint says. You're exactly right. Yeah. All right, next question is from Jamie Dining Questions. And if my mic sounds a little strange, we lost it in the middle of the podcast recording, so I apologize. It sounds a little different in my ear, but we will get this repaired.
You sound fine to me, but okay, that's just me.
It could be my headphone setting, so I just wanted to make sure, because we always want to give you the best quality, and I don't want to mess with that, but we're on the fly here. Hey, BOGP crew, I have a couple questions about dining. First question, I have a lunch reservation at Be Our Guest for 8 people. 2 of those people had to cancel their trip. Do I need to change this in the reservation so they don't charge me for the 2 that don't show up, or will they not worry about it since the rest of our party will be there? Ricky, what say you there?
I mean, if you want to be nice, I would change it,
yes.
You know, and that way you could maybe free up a table for a party of 8. But I mean, technically, no, Disney's not going to charge you for the people that aren't there. The only time they charge for people who aren't there is when you actually nobody shows up for the reservation. As long as one person shows up for that reservation, they are not going to charge you for the other missing people that didn't show up. So just one person has to show up for the reservation for them not to charge you anything.
All righty. Second question. Yeah, and please do. You know, cancel when you can, because that, like you said, that's just the right thing to do. And somebody might they're going to get surprised. Like, hey, I couldn't make it. And now they can. See, there are 4 of us on the trip this year. Myself, my husband, and 2 of our adult daughters. I have the Disney app where we can mobile order. If we want to use that app to mobile order while we are in the parks, do the 2 daughters need to get the app so they can mobile order and pay for their food? Or can we just do multiple mobile orders at the same restaurant from the same app so they can pay for theirs? We love listening to the show. You guys always keep it fun and positive. Jamie is in Greenwood, Indiana, 2 many miles away from Disney.
Yes.
All right. So, and let me just tell you guys, and I know you've heard this a lot because you're a big Disney fan if you're listening to our show. Mobile ordering at the quick service locations is the biggest hack out there right now. You're going to avoid so many lines. It is so much easier, especially if you have like picky kids. It's so much easier to decide what you're going to have for lunch while you're waiting in line for Pirates. And then as soon as you walk off Pirates, you walk over to, you know, Pecos Bills and get your food. I mean, oh, I love this. This is one of the best things about trips lately. But what do you say to this situation where, you know, they have multiple people that are trying to decide how to order?
So personally, I would have them download the app and order on their own phones, because what happens is it is tied to whatever credit card is in the app. So that way, if you're looking to have them pay for their own food, I would absolutely have them just do it on their own, you know, own app. That way, nothing gets mixed up. Nobody's accidentally paying for the wrong food, that kind of thing.
Yep, I agree. Especially if they're adults, they can totally do that.
Yeah.
All right, next question is from Jen from Ohio. Hi, new listener here. Well, where you been, Jen? Thanks for joining us. I've been listening for tips to take our son, who will be 20 months old, to Disney over Memorial Day weekend. and will be spending one day at the Magic Kingdom. Well, just found out that I'm Prego, and she said it, I didn't, and will be about 12 weeks at that time. Are rides that he would probably go on safe for me? I can't imagine them being super jerky or big drops for a 32-inch kiddo less than 2 years old. Don't worry, I won't accept this as doctor's advice, but any help is greatly appreciated. I haven't been to Disney World in years. Thanks, Jen. So, you know, we went with, I'm trying to think, because Mallory was born in January 2nd. We went down for our anniversary, which is June 10th, when Pam was pregnant with Mallory. So I guess she was about this far along. Maybe, I can't remember. I can't do the math on the fly, but it was June and Mallory was born in January. We were super conservative. Like, I mean, just that's how it is. Like, and the thing is, like, we go a lot. So it was a different kind of situation. She says she hasn't been to Walt Disney World in years. The thing is, if I have any question in the back of my mind, because, like, you know, I picture Small World. Easy boat ride. You're looking at dolls singing at you. What could happen? Well, the thing is, one of those boats could, boom, smack into the one in front of you, jerks you. And then I'm nervous. I'm a nervous Nelly anyway. So, man, I am super conservative in this stuff. But what do you say, Ricky? Because, I mean, it's different. I get to go, you know, more than once a year usually.
So Disney will have on their, I would definitely pick up a map, a regular park map. And Disney will have on the park map which attractions are not good for people who are pregnant. Most of the time, they will be attractions that have height requirements anyway. So the more thrilling attractions will obviously be attractions that you wouldn't want to be on as a pregnant lady. So there may be a few like outliers, which is why I would pick up the map and just kind of look at it and peruse it. There'll be a little icon that'll, you know, say that this isn't good for pregnant people. So I would definitely do that and check that out, because it may not be, so you may think an attraction is okay, but kind of like what Mike said, although I think his example might have been a little extreme, but I could be wrong, because I haven't looked at it. It's a Small World, could be one of those attractions that you aren't supposed to ride while pregnant. I don't know. I'm not pregnant, so I wouldn't know. But you know, there may be some reason, like, if something did happen in the attraction that, like, getting you out might cause issue too. So, you know, that kind of thing. Just get the park map and it'll tell you what attractions. You can look it up online too. Like, they have the park maps online, and it'll show you which attractions you can ride.
And Rachel's given some advice. You know, she followed her doctor's advice. She did, you know, she used Disney's guidance with the exception of Soarin' and Safari. Still went on those, but I have my doctor's approval. Safari, I don't know. Because here's the thing. Like, I drive a Jeep Wrangler. So Mallory was shaken up for 9 months. You know, anytime we rolled around St. Louis in the Wrangler, because that thing is the roughest ride ever. It's kind of like going on the Safari every day. maybe not quite as rough. But the thing, like, you know, like Haunted Mansion, there's really not a chance that's going to jerk. But, like, you know, I'm thinking, like, Small World, you hit another boat. I don't know how big of a jerk you got to have. And I'm sure it's, you know, varies from person to person. It just, you know, it's super important. So I just be super careful. Just me. All right. Next question is from a different Jennifer. It says, really enjoying your podcast. Thanks for doing it. My husband and I are visiting Walt Disney World in a few weeks, and I'm trying to figure out how we can manage to see all the evening shows at Hollywood Studios. With World of Animation getting added to the docket, would it be possible to see Wonderful World of Animation, Fantasmic, and Star Wars The Galactic Spectacular all in the same night, in our case, May 4th, which hopefully you enjoyed it. How do you suggest navigating that physically and logistically, or do we just need to prioritize? Thanks, Jen. So moving forward, Ricky, what's the best advice for night? Trying to see as much as you can at night at the studios, because holy cow, they're going to have a lot.
Yes. So really, unfortunately, you have to kind of pick one from Fantasmic and the Star Wars fireworks. Honestly, a lot of time, unless they're running a Fantasmic that's after the Star Wars fireworks, it's really hard to do both, especially if they're only offering one showing of Fantasmic. The reason behind that is if they're offering the one showing, to get out of the Fantasmic theater all the way so that you can see the, you know, Chinese theater, it's a huge hassle and it's really hard to do, especially because Fantasmic is like all the way back there and it's so hard to, like, it takes forever to get back. Freaking get back to the main part of the park anyway. So you really do have to choose which one you're going to want to do. The good news is that Disney is still going to be offering Disney Movie Magic, and the Disney Animation projection shows. So they're going to actually offer both of them, as well as the fireworks for the Star Wars fireworks. So none of those things are a replacement for the Star Wars fireworks, which I know a lot of people have been worried about that animation show. Oh no, it's replacing the fireworks for Star Wars. It's not, which I'm sure by the time this goes live, we'll have all found out. But yes. So anyway, I would say if you're looking for the biggest bang for your buck, I'm going to say do the Star Wars fireworks. That way you get to see both projection shows because both will take place, and the Star Wars fireworks. And I would skip Fantasmic. That's just me.
Good tips. That's what I say too. All right, let's get in the last question of the day. It's from Kristen in Martinsville, West Virginia. It's an Old Key West newbie title. My two girls and I will be staying at Old Key West on our next trip, and I'm wondering what the parking situation is like there. From what I can tell on the map and pictures online, it looks like you can park pretty close to your room. Is this correct? I'm planning to rent a car, and I'm just curious how convenient it will be getting in and out of the resort as opposed to using Lyft or the bus system. Thanks for your help, Kristen. Well, good news, Kristen. That is exactly right. At Old Key West, everybody's got a parking spot right in front of their villa. I mean, you can literally park there within 20 or 30 steps if you're on the ground floor. You can be right there in your villa. It is amazing. This is the one resort where if you have a car, you are rocking. I mean, because the buses are fine, but the bus stops are kind of spread out within this resort. It's almost like a villa. It's like a community rather than a hotel.
Which makes sense given how it started.
Yeah.
And it is a Disney Vacation Club resort.
But this is the one where having a car is awesome. It's going to save. You're going to be able to park right at your villa, walk right in, walk right out to go back to the parks. Also, you know, the thing is, we've used Lyft and Uber from Old Key West as well, but you got to be very specific in where they pick you up because we've got them to pick us up at our villa, but you got to almost like make the reservation, drop the pin, and then text them and give them a little more information because the day we used Uber, it was pouring. I mean, pouring down rain, and we had an ADR at the Polynesian. So obviously we didn't have to walk to the bus stop. We'd have been soaked. So we got a hold of our Uber driver, dropped a pin, and then texted him like, okay, we're right here. We're going to all be standing by this building, pull up, and they can do that. But you got to be very specific on that. But yeah, Old Key West with a car, best way to go. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Show. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. If you have a question you want us to answer, send that to mike@brguestpodcast.com, and we'll get to that right away. Also, apologies for the audio quality today. I know it's not the best. When I get back from Walt Disney World, we're going to get right on this. I'm going to make sure none of this happens again. But thanks for sticking with us for 11 years. We always have good audio quality. I promise it's few and far between. We're going to fix all this and get it all straightened out. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. So if you need the latest and greatest Disney news, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Cruise Line, just stuff that's happening even in Central Florida, this is a free iOS app you can download right now. So you need this on your device. It's great for right before bed, for in the morning while you're having breakfast. Check it out. It's Theme Park News, Disney Edition, a free iOS app for your Apple devices. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Each purchase really does help support the show. So again, bookmark it on all your devices. And a huge thank you to everybody who uses it. It's Amazon. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And we've got an awesome Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday where I'm going to be talking about my experience down at Disney Springs Hotels and at the B and all kinds of stuff. Cheerleading, you just hit. It's going to be a lot of fun, so join us on Friday for that. So until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.